goodness comes on me. My happiness comes by me. My happiness comes from me. So anybody that would care to just say these things with me as a symbolic willingness, only those who want to. My happiness comes from me. 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 My peace 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 comes from me. My freedom 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 comes from me. My health 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 comes from me. My love 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 comes from me. Take a breath, just relax. Remind yourself why you even chose to come. Tell yourself there's another way of looking at things.
Right, the name.
happiness comes from you. It cannot come from anywhere else. Your happiness comes from you. Your happiness cannot come from anywhere else. Your happiness comes from you. Your peace, your joy, it comes from you. It can't come from anything outside yourself. You can keep on looking, but it can't really come from anything outside yourself. Section, it's called Answer to Prayer. It's on page 163 in the text. And the only rule is just accept whatever you want to accept. And whatever you don't want to accept, that's okay. It says, everyone who has ever tried to use prayer to ask for something has experienced what appears to be failure. Everybody that's used prayer to ask for something has experienced what seemed to be failure. This wasn't only true with connection with specific things that might have hurt you, or that might be harmful, he says, but also in connection with requests that are strictly in line with this court. Sometimes it seems like I ask for the love of God, and that doesn't happen either. And sometimes I ask for a car, and that don't happen either. Sometimes I ask for things, and it looks like when I pray for things, they don't happen. And sometimes when I ask for all the cool stuff the Spirit says I'm supposed to ask for, it seems like that doesn't happen either. Anybody else? Okay. Then it says, the latter, what's the latter? Not receiving the peace and the joy and the God and the Spirit and the forgiveness stuff. In particular, might be incorrectly interpreted as proof that the Course doesn't mean what it says. Because I asked for God's stuff and didn't even get it. So that proves the Course doesn't mean what it says. We must remember, however, that the Course states and repeatedly states that the purpose of the Course is the escape from fear. The purpose of the Course is to allow you to escape from any kind of fear. The purpose of doing the Course is to allow you to escape from fear. We got to remember that. The main purpose of the Course is to teach us how to release fear, to let go of the fear. Escape fear. Are we clear about that? Is the Course about meeting your soulmate?
No.
Is the Course about getting that job you always wanted?
No.
You see what I'm saying?
The course is about what? Skating the beard, having some peace off up in here. That's paragraph one. Summary. Looks like we've asked for the regular old stuff and even the spiritual stuff, and it looked like we didn't get it all the time. And even when we asked for the spiritual stuff, it seems like not even getting the spiritual stuff proves that the course doesn't mean what it says. But it says we need to remember that the course is saying the purpose of the course is to escape from fear. That's going to be a very crucial point to understand the answer to prayer. Any questions about the first paragraph? That's what it's saying. Anybody need any clarification about that? There's something about listening to the Course in Miracles together that makes it easier to understand for some reason. You can look at the same thing by yourself and you'd be going, what the heck did I just read? But I just read it out the book and everybody heard it. Isn't that weird? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I swear I can't hear it until I share. It's because the whole thing about the Course is it's trying to encourage us to join. So all the power of the Course happens when we join. See, I want to learn how to be joined separately. That's the way I want it. You know what I'm saying? Okay. The only problem I have with joining is connecting. Yeah, I'm all right with it. Unless it's the person I want to connect with, the person I like, I want to connect with them. Then I'm trying to figure out the best way to connect to them. Any of you ever have non-connection anxiety? You really want to connect, but you seem like you really can't. Or even worse, it looks like everybody that wants to connect with you, you don't want to connect with them. Uh-huh. You know, you ever go through those periods where it always look like you really are a person who can attract, but it looks like you always attract whatever you don't want or whoever you don't want. Then it looks like what you want is always a little out of reach. Okay, so what's the purpose of the course? Gate from fear. Okay. So it says, let's suppose then that what you ask of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, as the Holy Spirit is your right mind, your sane mind, the part of you that's still in touch with the force that created you, the part of you that's still linked to the universal truth, God, Spirit, the part of us that really is cool, for real. Of course, calls the Holy Spirit. I like that. He uses religious terminology to describe universal spiritual themes to help correct a lot of the programming I got as a good old Southern Baptist. Where hell was my friend. I wasn't afraid to go to hell when I was a kid, even when I was in the church that was teaching about hell, because I knew all my friends were going to be there, you know. And I really wasn't that up on harp music either. That turned me on. Somebody said streets paved with gold or a harp or something. You know, it's like, I thought I was crazy because that didn't turn me on at all. And I certainly didn't think I should suffer for something that happened 2,000 years before I was born. That sounds grossly unfair. So I ask questions like this. If Adam and Eve were the first two people, then who did their kids marry? And they would get mad. People would like get mad at me. You don't question about what's wrong with you, boy. You don't question about. You know, but to me, I wasn't trying to be hard to get along with. I just didn't see how two of everything on earth could fit in a boat. I just didn't. But that's just me. But I met some of the coolest, most loving, most wonderful people who were Christians. And studied the Bible. It's amazing how some, you know, it's like, if I got this theory that if you want to be a loving person, you're going to manage to be a loving person no matter what you're studying, and you're going to take whatever it is and you're going to find some loving way to see it and to use it and express it. But if you're a person that just want to criticize, judge, and be separate, no matter what you study, you're going to find a way to condemn. Like I've seen people use A Course in Miracles to condemn, because that's what they like to do. So, let's suppose you did ask God for what you really want, but while you ask for it, you're still afraid of it. So you ask him for something you're afraid of. He says, well, if you are asking for something that you are afraid of, your attainment of it would no longer be what you want. I say it again. Because this really helped answer my question about this, why my prayers weren't answered. If you ask for what you're afraid of, then really achieving that is no longer what you want. So when you ask for something, like I hear people ask for a relationship, but they know they're scared to death of a relationship. Or I hear them ask, you know, for money, and they're scared to death of money. You know, they're asked to connect with somebody, and they're scared to death to walk up to somebody and say hi. So I'm praying for what I'm afraid of, which means what I'm praying for is something I don't want.
So it never works out.
That's what it's talking about here. He says that's why certain specific forms of healing aren't achieved, even when there is a such thing as the state of healing. In other words, an individual may ask for physical healing because the individual is fearful of bodily harm. At the same time, if the individual were healed physically, the threat to their thought system might be considerably more fearful to them than its physical expression. In this case, the individual isn't really asking for a release from fear when they ask for healing. No, the average person isn't asking to be released from their fear when they ask for healing. The average person is asking for the removal of a symptom that they themselves selected. This request is therefore not for healing. To ask for the removal of the physical problem without asking for the release from the fear is not solving the problem. So let's see if we can get this. That was one of. Did y'all have that experience of hearing somebody read English but didn't know what they said?
Yeah.
Did anybody here have that? You was hearing me read English but you don't know what the hell I just said. Okay, let me tell you. You do really, but it's really so cool. It says, if you ask the Holy Spirit for something, but you're doing it when you're afraid, then really the achievement of it is no longer something that you want. He says, there is a such thing as being healed, but there is a reason why specific forms of healing don't happen. And the reason why is that if I broke my arm and my arm was broken, the bone was hanging out my arm, and I said, please heal my arm, and my arm instantly healed and the bone mended itself and there wasn't a scar and it healed instantly, he says that would be considerably more frightening than having the broke arm with the bone protruding out of it. I'll say it again. You know what I'm saying? If I wanted to talk to my deceased mother, and the court says she really isn't dead, she's just not in her body anymore, and I said, Mother, I really want to talk to you, and then she physically appeared in front of me 12 years after her transition, that would be much more frightening than the idea of her being dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the court says that in this case, you're not really asking for a release from fear. What you keep asking for is, because the release from, to really have the release from fear, you'd have to recognize the truth that you're denying. So it's much easier to ask for the symptom to be healed than to be willing to deal with the things that's going on in your mind that created it in the first place. Most people would rather deal with the effect than deal with their mind. That's D. So that's paragraph 2. So every time you ask for a removal of a symptom, a physical symptom, then you're not really asking for healing at all. Because you won't be asking for healing until you ask for release from fear, the state of mind that made it in the first place. So, any questions about that paragraph? Any comments? You can have aha's. I mean, I'd love to give everybody a chance to express themselves for a couple of minutes.
Well, if you're released, if I don't have fear about something, then it doesn't really matter what's going on with me. I mean,
say that again. That is deep. That is a good thing. If she really didn't have any fear, it really wouldn't make no difference what was happening. You know, if I felt totally, completely fulfilled right now, in this moment, then it really doesn't make any difference what's happening in this moment. Because I've already achieved the state that I'm working so hard to achieve.
It's what you said yesterday. If peace is the content, the form doesn't matter.
If peace is the content, then the form doesn't matter. As long as, if I'm feeling good, then whatever is happening has got to be cool. You know what I'm saying? If I'm truly feeling good, I'm not talking about phony feeling good.
Yeah.
You know, phony feeling good is feeling good based on something looking like it turned out the way you wanted it to.
Yeah.
Based on your wishes and your fantasies and your scripts. So when most people say they're having a great day, the court says it just means that the way that they scripted it seems to be happening. Which isn't true happiness, because they give up their happiness the instant their script changes and something doesn't go the way they think it should happen. So it's not really, the court says, what we call happiness is just an attractive form of fear. All it is a fear that we like. And the reason why the court calls a pleasure a fear is because you're always worried about it ending or changing. There's no sense of, you can't depend on a pleasure. It doesn't last. So it, it's just you know how it is when you meet somebody and you're really turned on and then you're afraid you might lose the relationship. So you really just felt really good. But if you be honest with yourself, it was nothing but an attractive form of fear. And sometimes that's exactly what the person looks like when they walk up. You go, oh, that's an attractive form of fear. You go, my God. Woo, look at the attractive, my attractive form of fear's butt. My word. Good God Almighty. What else could it be but an attractive form of fear if 10 minutes later I'm scared to death because they're talking to somebody else? What else could it be but an attractive form of fear? And so the court says, you know, basically what you want to do is release the fear. You don't have to release me. You just have to release the fear. Okay. Anybody else? This paragraph was pretty cool. That's what I like about the Course in Miracles. It just says it straight up. Bam.
What do I do with my water? That's what I want to know.
Maybe I'll get it for you. It's right. Here it is. Ah. And it was so much easier when I didn't have a body. But I want to see what it felt like to be separate, so here I am. Ooh, we could have so much fun if it looked like we were separate, but we knew we weren't. We'd be potting like a big dog. But we're separate and think we're separate. That's a problem. The people who separate and think they won, they're having a darn good time, let me tell you. Occasionally I drop into that world, don't you? Look like you're separate, but you're with someone that you feel totally one with, and you have a spectacular experience with each other. Ooh, that feels good. Because they're going to bring something interesting to the mix, and you're going to bring something interesting to the mix, namely yourself, which is going to be unique anyway because nobody else is like you. You're not afraid of each other. You know you're one. You're just looking different. So you just have all these interesting ways of entertaining yourselves. As long as you keep guilt and sin out of it. Okay. Guilt and sin will blow apart in a minute. There's nothing you can do that can be corrected by the love that created you. There's nothing more powerful than God. Not even you. Not even what you did on prom night. So the Bible emphasizes that all prayer is answered. And this is indeed true. All prayer is answered. The very fact that the Holy Spirit has been asked for anything will ensure a response. The fact that you've asked for the Creator for anything will ensure, did it say ensure? Anybody look at the book? Ensure a response. You cannot ask the Creator for anything and not get a response. But it's equally certain that no response by the Creator would be a response that would increase your fear. No response that comes to you from your higher self would make you feel more afraid. No answer that's coming from God makes you feel more afraid. No answer coming from your right self makes you feel more afraid. How can I tell when I'm hearing something from God, my right self, my higher self? It wouldn't increase my fear. That's too easy, isn't it? Because it looks like to me I've received a lot of guidance that I was afraid of, or a lot of guidance I didn't like, or a lot of guidance that made me feel like some big sacrifice was being asked of me. Now, according to what the Course in Miracles is saying, that's not true. That answer wasn't coming from the Holy Spirit, because if it had to come from my higher self, it wouldn't have increased my fear. Are you kind of getting a hint as to why your prayers haven't been answered to your satisfaction all the time? You know, first of all, I'm doing the whole thing wrong. Maybe that's got something to do with it. You know what I'm saying? The first thing I do is I think it's all about the thing I want and not escaping from fear. Then the next mistake I make is I keep asking for stuff that I'm really afraid of. Then the next mistake I make is that I just want the little symptoms that I come up with. I want God to be like this genie that comes out of a bottle and gives me all my little fantasies and wishes and erases my little symptoms. And the court, then I don't even know how to tell when God has even answered me. The court says, because if you get an answer that just increases your fear, then no answer from your higher self would increase your fear. Nothing from God and love is going to increase your fear. Now ego goes, ah! My ego doesn't want to accept that. Because if I believed that, it would be too easy to tell when I was listening to my higher self and when I was listening to my ego, the voice I made up. That's too easy. That's entirely too easy. Okay, God, would you help tell me what I need to do in this situation? Well, the romance is going to be an answer that doesn't increase your fear, because if it increases your fear, you're going to be the least likely to want to do it. So I'm sane enough to know that I would ask you to do what you want to do and willing to do and able to do, so that it would probably get done. Hello. That sounds like a sanity to me. Sometimes when this book says sanity to me, it kind of freaks me out because sometimes I don't think I'm capable of understanding sanity. And then I realize that I have a sane mind that's learned insane lessons. And so when I hear a sane one, then it makes sense to me, and it's freaking me out because I'm not used to thinking sanely. Sanely. Because it does make sense. If you want somebody to do something, you'd ask them to do what they wanted to do and were capable of doing it, could do it right then if you were really serious about getting it done. And if you're not serious about getting something done, you'd always ask people to do something that makes them afraid and gives them a lot of resistance and they don't want to do it. That will assure that it won't happen. So an insane God would ask me to do everything that frightens me, and a sane God would ask me to do what I wanted to do. And I need to apply that same theory to the people in my life. If I would like to get more things done. Who do I want to go out with? The person who wants to go out with me. Not the person I have to call 30 times to kind of convince them maybe to meet me at the coffee shop for 5 minutes on condition that their friend can come get them if they don't like me. You know what I'm saying? The escape hatch. Call me in 15 minutes. If I'm having a hard time, I'm going to say, I got to go. Okay. You know, somebody that's coming to you from spirit, the time will, it'll be 5 hours and pass by and you think 5 minutes have passed because you feel that comfortable communicating and that natural in each other's presence, and it doesn't take months and weeks of getting to know each other to do that. All it takes is asking for the release from fear, saying that you want the release from fear. I want relationships that release me from fear. Instead of always trying to deal with my symptom based on the fact that I got dysfunctional love because my dad dropped me when he held me when I was 3 years old. We love the physical symptoms. We love to deal with the physical symptoms because that assures that the problem won't get solved and we have an excuse for staying the way we are. Because I really would be more loving if you deserved it. I got a lot of love to give. I just don't trust you. See what I'm saying? As long as I want to stay in that negative frame of mind, that's just my way of keeping from having to extend love and trust myself. It's keeping me from being vulnerable and open to you. So I actually need you to justify my suspicions of you so that I can stay the way I am because I'm afraid to change. So I'll just attract a lot of people that will always be so wrong for me that I'll never feel open to trust, and therefore I'll never have to learn how to be open and vulnerable. And I can feel like I really want to, but the right person just hasn't shown up yet. Mm-hmm. And so therefore I get a chance to feel like I'm this great, open, loving person without ever having to prove it.
That really puts the fun in dysfunction.
Yeah. So what now?
That really puts the fun in dysfunction.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Isn't it great? Isn't this fun? Aren't you having a good time? Anybody? Give me some questions. I know that's got to be a trip. Somebody said something. I know that's got to be a trip. What were you going to say, Charles?
Control.
What were you going to say? Talk to me, brother.
Well, that we're like you say, we have a sane mind that's learning sane lessons and the sane ways of functioning that we think are sane. And that what that says is that I can't trust you mm-hmm. or anyone else. The only one I can trust is myself, and I know what's right for me, and I know what I want. I'm going to get it for myself, and you're wrong. And the right person just hasn't come along yet. So therefore, but until I'm willing to, and that's the key, I forget, willingness, to release that control, and then ask that of the Creator, or God, for release from fear. Release from fear, in my mind, hearing what you're saying, says, I'm willing to give up control.
Okay. So you got your answer. So you got exactly what you know you have to apply to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that beautiful?
Mm-hmm.
See,
mm-hmm.
See, that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean when I say at the beginning of the class, there's a message here for you if you want to hear it, but it's not my responsibility to make sure you get it. My responsibility is just to deliver the message. I used to want to deliver the message to make sure everybody got it and get all upset if I thought I was a pitiful teacher because didn't anybody get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I'd be like, oh, how can I get it? How can I help everybody get it? It's like, no, your job is just to deliver the message, brother. Mm-hmm. That's it. Mm-hmm. Can you do that? If you do that, you're the divine postman. So it's not like you got to apologize for the bad news you delivered to somebody. It's like, can you think that your mailman's not going to go, I hate to give you this, you take a personal responsibility for your bill. He have a horrible day. And that's what we do, you know. It's like it's not your responsibility how someone reacts to what you tell them. It's your responsibility to be authentic in the moment as you can possibly be. That's your job. Your job is to be so real that I can benefit through who you are, through you giving me the gift that is you. And you can't do that if you're trying to be somebody other than you yourself.
Amen.
You know, you just can't give me your gift trying to be somebody else. Don't forget, you just want to be yourself because all the other places are taken.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm asking myself whether or not I should take this particular step, and the thought of taking that step scares me,
mm-hmm.
does that mean it's the wrong step, or does that mean that I'm just nervous about it?
It means that you really don't want what you're asking for.
Okay.
Isn't that deep? That's so different, and that's like being hit from left field, isn't it? If I'm asking for something and I'm afraid, then I don't really want it. That's what I should tell myself. Because you want things you love. You don't want things you're afraid of. So if I'm asking for a relationship and I'm afraid, I need to ask to get rid of the fear first. Then let me have a relationship. But I think I'm going to get in the relationship with fear, and hopefully this person is going to help me get rid of my fear. And the way you're supposed to help me get rid of my fear is to help me hide my fear and insecurity. I'm supposed to get so much of my value from how you treat me and what you're telling me that it hides from me how insecure and how fearful I am about me. So your job is to hide the way I feel about myself so I think that I'm better than I think I am. You are my mate.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. No one would want to do that.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
If you said it that way to someone, they would run.
Yeah, if you told somebody the truth, you would never have a date. The reason why I came over here is because really I just want to go to bed with you tonight. Will you go home with me? Come on. If the person is sent by God, if it's the right person and it's the right time and it's the right place and the right moment, they might say yes, absolutely. I'm so glad you saved time. I'm so glad you saved time. That's true. You might, but let's admit, shall we, that in most cases that is not the case.
Yes.
In most cases. It's not the case. Now, I'm not suggesting that now in my experience, the last thing I want to do is to fool someone into getting into a relationship with me, because then I have to keep on acting like I'm really not in order to keep them. So it doesn't appeal to me at all to try to present a false picture of myself to somebody, because then I have to keep that false picture going in order to keep them. And that wouldn't be much fun. But I used to want people so bad that I changed me to get them. And then they kept expecting me to be that me I changed into together. Mm-hmm. And then we eventually have some problems because my real self would start to break through despite my best efforts. No matter how much I was trying to keep it from coming through sooner than I just couldn't keep it up all the time. And that's the thing about being in a relationship. You can only hide so long in a relationship. And then what's really there is going to start coming to the surface. That's why forgiveness is a popular concept if you want to stay together. Because think about it. I got to forgive you for presenting a picture of yourself that wasn't really true because you wanted to be with me so bad. That's really kind of flattering. You wanted to be with me so much that you changed everything about you so that you could finally have me. But now you've got to be who you really are. I hope I can stand it. Let's see. Let's give it a shot, shall we? And I'll do the best I can. Hopefully who you really are will be wonderful to me. But you have to be willing to take that chance, because you really can't have me until you're willing to be without me, because you can't really have anything until you could be happy without it. That's the only way you can really have peace with anybody, is that you could be peaceful even if you didn't have them. Then you're there strictly by choice, and that's got to be cool. Isn't that be great to be with somebody that just wanted to be with you? You know, they didn't have to be with you and didn't need to be with you, but they just wanted to be with you because they just wanted to?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so cool. All right. I love it. I love my choir. Okay, so you want to go a little bit further here?
Yeah.
Guru, if I'm responsible for what I choose, right? Why do I have to ask for anything? Why can't I just choose again?
What?
If I'm responsible for what I choose, what I see and my happiness and all that, then why do I have to ask for anything? Why don't I just choose again?
You can.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just giving a lot of different answers. Hopefully one of these answers will work for somebody.
So I can choose again.
You can, absolutely. And you can ask to be released from fear. And you can realize that when the Holy Spirit gives you an answer, it's an answer that's love. And you can realize that you need to just be asked to be released. I mean, I'm just giving answer after answer after answer. It doesn't mean it's the only answer. You know, that's what I like about it. Y'all could all give me an answer tonight, and I'd be totally open to it. You would never see me in any way, shape, form, or fashion try to defend my point of view as the only one that's possible. But what's cool about receiving a lot of answers that's really the same answers is that one of those answers might come to you in such a way that you'd be willing to do it. Mm-hmm. So as many different ways that I can give you and me to look at it during the night is the greatest gift I could give us. Some of the ways I'm going to suggest you're not going to like, and some of the ways I suggest you're going to go, wow, that's exactly what I needed to hear. And then the one you didn't like would be the one somebody loved. And the one you loved would be the one somebody else wouldn't do if it was the last thing on earth. So that's what I love about the truth, is that if you want it, the Course says if you want to answer, the answer is going to get to you. If you don't want to answer, there's no form the answer is going to show up that you're going to accept it. You're going to always, always, always not get it. No matter how it comes, you're not going to get it. Because you're not ready to be free yet. You're not ready to be peaceful yet. So you just won't hear it yet. That's okay. That's all right. The answer is eternal. It's going to keep on coming at you, and it's never going to stop to the end of time. So isn't that great to know that the answer is going to always be there whenever you decide to have it? So the only thing you're doing at this point is just stopping at the rest stop on the highway of life. That's what the Course says. All you can do is delay. That's all you can do. You can just delay a little while, but you cannot arrive. So some people are just lost in delay. So don't get, you know, so we don't have to get uptight about that. How about you? Have you ever delayed? Yeah.
24 years.
24 years.
24 years.
You bragging or something? Only 24 years? You're showing out. About 24 lifetimes.
I have no idea.
I like the context that if you're originating your thoughts from fear, you can only see limitation. And if you originate your thoughts from love, you only see possibilities.
That's exactly right. And you won't see the possibilities until you change your mind. See, what happens a lot is people want to get the result of another way of thinking before they use it. You know, it's like I'm really not looking at it the way the Course is saying, but I expect to get the results that the Course is promising me without actually using that way of looking at things. And I'm judging how well the Course works by never using it. And that's deep. Like you said, once you really let your mind originate from love, you will perceive a world that's loving, and you'll be living in it, and it will be just as real as the one you used to be afraid in. But you don't see that world until you change your perception. You got to show up there. And that's what the book is telling us now. It's like, well, why don't you start with the idea that if you get an answer from your higher self, it wouldn't be an answer that makes you more afraid. Why don't you start with the idea that you need to ask to be released from fear first? And then whatever happens after that is where the real healing is going to happen. And it's going to happen in a form that's going to really work for you. Like it says right here, it says two things. It says there's no response given by the Holy Spirit that will ever be a response that would increase your fear. It says, but it's possible that God's answer will not be heard. That's obvious, isn't it? It's kind of a joke when you think about it. It's like, it's possible that you might not hear the answer. Agreed?
Sure.
Okay, then it says, but it's impossible that you lose the answer. You may not hear the answer, but you can't lose the answer. See, that's comforting to me. Because I admit I can't hear the answer sometimes, but my real fear is I'm going to lose the answer, but if I don't get it, I've blown it. So it's really good for me to know that I cannot hear the answer right now, but I certainly can't lose the answer right now. And there are many answers that I've already received that I haven't heard yet. Every night we come to this class, we get a bunch of answers that we haven't heard yet. And then one day you're going to hear what was said, and you're going to realize you had the answer all the time, but you just hadn't heard it. Like the answer of ask to be released from fear rather than to ask for the physical condition that you're in to be healed. See, that's the answer. But when I walk out and don't do that, it doesn't mean I didn't receive the answer. It just means I didn't hear it yet. So you have a lot of answers within you that you haven't heard yet. And what you call enlightenment is nothing but you're finally hearing all the answers that's already within you. That's all enlightenment is. All of a sudden you realize that everything you're looking for is within you, been there all the time, and then you finally see it, and then you call it enlightenment. All of a sudden, all these answers that I've been looking for, I start to know they're in my mind, and I start to use them and get the result, and I will call it enlightenment. So you have a lot of answers within you that you just haven't heard yet. Okay? Then it says this, I assure you that your answers are waiting for you. Your answers are waiting. Now my answer's waiting, right? But I'm blaming you, and you, and you. I'm blaming you. Wish you would change. You would change. If you had done it differently, I'd be happy. But in the meantime, which is my way of looking at it, which is wrong, right? Because I'm setting it up where I have no power. Because I can't change you, can't change you, can't change you, can't change anybody in this room. So the minute I set it up that my happiness is dependent on anything outside of myself that is assuring that I will not receive the happiness that I'm looking for. And that's not abstract. You all saw that immediately. If my happiness depended on getting you to do exactly what I wanted to do, wouldn't you admit that I would probably have a hard time being happy all the time? Every one of y'all would say that, right? So obviously, the way for me to become happy has nothing to do with you. That's deep. It has to do with me being willing to hear the answers that I've been given and start to use them, and I can't lose them because they're going to be waiting for me. They are waiting. So don't worry about it. You got the answer. You can't lose it. That's comforting to me. It'll be there when you're ready. That's the end of that paragraph. Deanne, do you have your hand up about something?
You answered the question, but I just want to say what you just said to me was so meaningful that when you make your happiness dependent upon things outside of yourself, you don't have to be powerful.
That's a literal truth. That's not an abstract concept.
That.
Yeah.
You just gave it all away.
Absolutely.
Who wants to be in that position?
Absolutely.
Nobody.
My job in a relationship with you, Deanne, is just to be a safe shelter for you to grow in. That's really what I'm here. I'm here to be a safe place for you to express who you are. I'm not here to be a safe place for you to make you act out my fantasies.
Right.
But the funny thing about it is, the ones I let go of kind of decide who would act out my fantasies. Which is really funny. When I let go of my script, then the universe started attracting to me people who naturally did the things that I liked, but they were just being themselves. It had nothing to do with me whatsoever. You know what I'm saying? It's like liking science fiction movies and trying to convince your mate to like them and they hate them. And then meeting somebody who likes already loved science fiction before they ever met you. So y'all go to the movie together and have an absolutely incredible time. And neither one of you is trying to manipulate the other. All you're doing is joining in each other's joy. Which one of those relationships would you like to have? One where you're always trying to get a person to do something that they don't want to do so that they can make you happy. Or to constantly meet people who naturally are the way that you would love people to be. Or you would also have a state of mind that you wouldn't give your peace away even if they weren't the way you wanted them to be. You that's a win-win. I either got the choice of being with people that totally harmonize with me or being so solidly entrenched in my own peace that even if they're totally different, I still feel good. What? Tell me the loss in that position. Mm-hmm. No, it's no loss. The Course is a win-win situation. It's always a win-win for everybody. The Course says if it's not a win for everybody, there's no real win. There'll never be a real win that somebody loses. Ever. In a real solution, nobody loses. And then it says stuff like, does healing need to be repeated? No, if you've really been healed, then what's to be repeated? Yeah. I'm like, going, woo! You mean the stuff I've been repeating over and over again is because it's never been healed in the first place? Yeah. It wasn't you healed it, and then it came back, and you healed it, and it came back. You never healed it. Or else it would be gone once and for all. It says stuff like that, and that makes sense to me. I don't know why it makes sense to me, even though I haven't been able to pull it off. It makes sense to me, you know. So I'm so thankful for this, and I'm so glad that you're willing to listen to it with me so that we can hear stuff a little bit different than what we've ever heard before. The next paragraph is ridiculous. I'd like to first of all tell you that this is going to mess with your mind, probably. Okay, you ready to have your mind messed with? Okay. He said, if you want to know your answers, if you want to know your prayers are answered, never doubt a son of God. If you want to know your prayers are answered, never doubt a child of God, a mind of love. A son, according to the Course, really is another word for mind, not like a male or female. He said, don't question the person, don't confound the person, because your faith in that person is your faith in yourself. If you want to know God, if you want to know God's answer, you have to believe in me, whose faith in you cannot be shaken. You have to believe in somebody whose faith in you cannot be shaken if you want to know the answer. Of course. Of course. Of course. Of course, if I want the answer from you, I have to ask it of someone who believes in me so much that their faith in me cannot be shaken. Because anybody who believes in me so much that their faith in me couldn't be shaken would have to be somebody that gives me an answer from love. That's deep, man. He says, can you ask of the Holy Spirit truly and doubt your brother? Believe your brother's words are true because of the truth that's in your brother. And then you will unite with the truth in your brother, and then your brother's words will be true. I said again, believe the person's words are true because of the truth that's really in the person. You will unite with the truth in the person, and the person's words will be true. So as you hear the person, you're really hearing your higher self, God, me, Jesus, whatever. Listening to truth is the only way you can hear it now and finally know it. So the message a person gives to you is up to you. What? So what does the person say to you? What would you have the person say to you? Your decision about the person determines the message you receive from the person. Your decision about the person determines the message you receive from the person. Remember that the Holy Spirit is the voice of God. Love is in that person. And the voice for God, the voice for love, will speak to you through that person. God can really, love can really speak to you through that person. What can so holy a person tell you except the truth? But are you listening to the truth? The person might not know who he is, but there's a light or a truth in their mind that does know who he is. I said again, the person at work might not know that they're the innocent child of God, but there's a light or a truth in their mind that does know that. That light, that truth can shine into your mind, giving truth to that person's words and making you able to hear them. Because that person's words are the Holy Spirit's answer to you. Now here's the question. Is your faith in the person strong enough to let you hear the truth? Mm-hmm. That's the question. Is my faith in Michael strong enough that I only tune into the truth in Michael? You see what I'm saying? Is my faith in the love in you and the truth in you strong enough that I just tap into the truth in you and then you tap into the truth in me, and now it's the truth of God and love communicating with each other because we have faith in each other so much that that truth is really there. So that explains to me why people have lied to me, because I believe that that was what they would do. And so I joined with the part of them that reflected what I had decided about them when I walked up. So what you're saying to me, it's really up to me. Let me give you an example. No matter what Michael says to me, is my interpretation of what he's saying is what he's saying to me. Mm-hmm. Don't you agree? No matter what Michael is saying to me, is my interpretation of what he's saying, that's really what he's saying to me. You with me on that? Well, this is a really powerful point. No matter what I'm saying to you, is your interpretation of what I'm saying to you, that's really what I'm saying to you.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
So doesn't that bring more understanding to that statement, what the person says is up to you? All of a sudden, that's not such an abstract sentence anymore. What you're saying is up to me. You're either attacking me or you're calling for my help or calling for my love. You're either giving me the truth or you're giving me an illusion. But I'm the one that's going to determine what you're giving to me. Have you ever met somebody you know you were telling them the truth and they believed you were a liar and there was nothing you could do to change their mind? So that meant that what they hear you saying is a lie. Which means what you said to them was really up to them. Mm-hmm. They decided what you said to them. And that's what the book is saying. What a person says to you is up to you. But we could join with the truth in each other and then the truth would come through each other. But I have more faith in the fact that you may deceive me, and I got tons of stuff from the past to use as a witness to believe that there's a truth in you that I could tap into, that if I tapped into that truth, then everything that you would say back to me would be true. That I really could tune into another station on your dial. Some people, they always on 95.7, which is Cool Earl. And then there's some people that's always on 65.4, which is the Earl they can't stand. Same radio, what did they tune into? I'm multidimensional. I'll be whatever you want me to be.
It all depends on you.
It all depends on you. You can see me as a, some people walk in the room and they see me as this really cool person that's really trying to be helpful and loving and stuff. And then some people come in the room and they tune into, they're suspicious and afraid of what my motives are. So they were determining the message they got from me. Not me. You were determining what you were receiving tonight. You taught yourself this class. I didn't. It's deep. But you'll walk away with the message that you gave yourself tonight and attribute it to me. Remember, Earl, when you told us that it was okay to go jump off a cliff? I go, what? You know, so I tell you, sometimes when people say back to me what they said I said in the class, it frightens me. Because I know how to say that, you know. And they just get a whole nother thing, you know. Like, I remember I was talking about something like, you know, release from fear, and really the Holy Spirit's answer is going to be something, you know, something really, like, then the person said to me, so you're saying that it's not okay to jog? And it tripped me out. Somehow or another, they had twisted that to mean that I was anti-jogging. That was frightening. But see, don't you get it? Isn't that a trip? The message that you're receiving from everybody around you is the message that you've decided to receive. And if you were to tune into the part of them that was really loved, then you would see the love in them. Yes.
So, in a way, like, we grow up hearing, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, it's not what they say, it's how you hear it.
Yes. It's how you hear it and how you see it. The Course says perception is learning. That everything that you are seeing is what you've learned to see. And the way you're seeing it is how you learn to see it. And that if you learn to see it another way, it will become something different. And so the book is just trying to teach us how to see it another way so that we can have a different experience than the one we have it right now, if you're not happy. But we're fighting the new perception. It's like somebody want to give me a gift. Earl, if you just look at it this way, your whole world would change tomorrow. It's a gift. What is it? It's a new interpretation. I want to give you a new interpretation. Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to fight this new interpretation. Hook, line, and sinker as a way to protect my old identity. Because learning means change. And change is fearful to the mind that's in fear. Because the Course says it's hard for us to conceive of change being going to a better state. We're much more likely to think that a change means we're going to be going through more changes than we already are.
Question over here. I'm just trying to figure out how you, you know, like the people that you, people at work or people that you know that are just consistently negative, that you just don't want to hear anymore because it's just a negative statement from somebody else or a negative attitude that you just want to get away from. How am I interpreting, I mean, am I interpreting that?
Yeah, the message you receive, the negative message you receive from them is coming from you. I know that's how I did it. Because you're the one that's interpreting what they're saying as being negative. So you're the one that's making their, whatever they're saying, negative. Because you're choosing to see it as that. See, you don't want your happiness to be dependent on getting the negative person not to be negative, because you know you can't change anybody else's mind like that. So you don't even want to set it up where I'm feeling bad because everybody else is negative, and what do I do about them? What I've got to do is change my perception of their negativity. I need to give myself a new way to look at what they say so that I don't take my peace away. And that's what the Course is trying to give us. It's trying to give us other ways of looking at it. Like, for instance, that's just a call for love. That's just a call for help. That's just a call for healing. So if I looked at it and I said, all day long, all my coworkers had the biggest calls for healing that you would ever imagine. All day long, I saw so many calls for love today, it was ridiculous. Okay, the benefit of that to you would be it would make your mind focus on healing all day. It would make your mind focus on love all day. Even if you were saying it was just a call for love, just a call for help, you would be saying love, help, healing, love, help, healing, love, help, healing. That's all you would be hearing all day. Because people are so negative that it could be a constant reminder of love all day beyond your wildest dreams. You would think about love about a million times a day if you really took negativity as a call for love. And so what you would be doing, you would be building up your own consciousness of love all day. And And the more you build up your consciousness of love, the more love you would perceive and draw into your reality. And so those people who you see as negative, actually you would start to be thankful for them, because they would always be reminding you of love. And so therefore they would be helping you have more love. And that love would eventually move you out of that environment completely. And then you wouldn't be around. You would be moved out of that physical environment. You would eventually be removed out of that physical environment, or you would be giving yourself total peace in that physical environment, so therefore it would make any difference whether you left or not. Because you would be feeling so much love, because all you think about all day is love. All you focusing on all day is love. And that's how you deal with negative people.
But I think it's hard to figure out how to actually express that in a work situation. You can think it in your head. If it doesn't look like it on your outside, they're not going to know that you're just kind of thinking that on the inside.
Well, remember now, it really doesn't matter how you're ultimately expressing yourself on the outside, because the message that they're going to give themselves is up to them.
Right.
So really, they're going to see you the way they want to see you, no matter how you act. So you act a certain way really just because you want to act that way, not because you think the way you're acting is going to be perceived correctly by the people around you. Because they're just going to see it the way they want to see it. They'll get mad at you for smiling if they don't like you. They'll say stuff like that. What you smiling about? You see what I'm saying? We've all had that experience. So we know that, I'm going to tell you, anytime we set up an answer that has anything to do with the other person changing, we know we're listening to our ego and we're putting ourselves back in a position of powerlessness, because we know, and this is not abstract, right? We know we don't control the way other people act at this level. At this level. So every time I come up with, like you were saying, suppose I am going to see it as a call for love, but on the outside, I don't look like a call for love at all.
Yeah.
But the name of the game is for you to remain conscious of the ideas that you want to see manifest. So even if you can't smile on the outside, but on the inside you're telling yourself it's a call for love, then it's what you're telling yourself that's teaching you. So even though you're not acting like it on the outside, you're still reminding yourself of the state of mind that you really want to have. So you're still winning. They're going to see you the way they want to see you anyway, so you just need to let go of that altogether, because you can't change that. But if you focus on the truth within yourself, you're much more likely to start tuning in the truth in them, and you probably will start seeing a different person in front of you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Course in Miracles level is the inner content level, not the external personality form level. And so we are very accustomed to trying to change our behavior. And the Course is about changing your thinking that would naturally change your behavior. But changing your behavior doesn't change your thinking, because you can behave in ways that you don't believe in the inside. You can treat people nice on the outside and hate them on the inside. So behavior has nothing to do with what's really going on. But if you do behave in line with what you think, then your behavior is helping you become stronger as a person. But you know behavior. Y'all know behavior doesn't really mean nothing in terms of what's really going on, right? Everybody with me on that? So it's not really your behavior that matters. It's what you're telling yourself behind your behavior that's teaching you. It's not what you're saying to me that's important. It's what you're telling yourself while you're talking to me. That's what you're learning. That's what you hear. So you can be saying, Earl, I love you, I love you. And on the inside of your mind, you can be saying, you low-down dog, I don't trust you. But you're just increasing the fear in your own mind, even though you're saying something very nice to me. Which is cool, because I think I should hear something nice. So you're telling me something nice that I believe I deserve to hear, even though you don't mean it, and you're making yourself more afraid. That's all right. That's all right with me, because what you're telling me is a reflection of what I believe about myself. That's why it looks like you're telling me I'm a nice person, even though you don't think so yourself. Well, that's just the way you feel about you, so you'll deal with that. But I'm hearing what I think about me, so it's cool. You can fake your love for me all day long. It's all right. Now tell people that, because if you're gonna fake your love really good, you still got to treat me really nice.
So,
a good faker, you have to be like really treating me nice.
So nothing outside of you is personal at all.
Which I think is like one of the four agreements.
Yeah.
Something about one of them is don't take it personal. Yeah, and we do. We take everything too personal. The Course says that specialness is nothing but faith in only yourself to the exclusion of everybody else. So that's the most special you can possibly be. You're the only one that's trustworthy and everybody else is suspicious. It's the Course says that's just so special. And I know a lot of people like that. They think they're the only one that they can trust is themselves, and everybody else is suspect. And so when you get to that level of specialness, you're guaranteed to be alone. Okay? You really are. And so you might want to consider wanting to do things that involve joining with others so that it can get done faster.
This sounds like a lesson in true forgiveness.
It really is a lesson in true forgiveness, which the Course calls a new interpretation. That when I forgive you, I'm just seeing you differently. It's not like I'm trying to overlook something you really did to me. That's not what the Course is asking you to do. It's asking me to see you differently. You know, that you one day you'll reach a level of consciousness that you'll know that everything is ultimately coming from your own consciousness. And when you really get there, the first thing you do is forgive everybody around you, because you'll know that they only did whatever it was you needed to have them do at your request for your own spiritual growth anyway. So no matter what they did, it was what you needed in that moment, and you subconsciously, telepathically asked them to do that so you could learn a particular lesson that you had chosen in love.
It's their gift.
And so you'll see it as a gift, because somebody has to really love you to play the part of the villain. Because the villain is not going to get a lot of accolades. But the villain is also the one that makes you realize something about yourself that you really need to get in touch with and take a look at. But you don't have to have the villain to learn that lesson. You don't have to have the attack to learn the lesson. But most of the time we choose that. For some reason we choose to have some kind of a painful thing happen for us to learn the lesson. And the Course says that's not necessary. You can get the lesson without the pain. You don't have to have the pain to get the lesson. But if you have gone through a lot of pain and struggle, then you need to see that as for your own best interest, and that you learn something valuable through that. If you do choose the painful path, then see it as having been helpful to you. That way you can let it go and receive the blessings of it and move on. Because a path that you don't think helped you is the one you can't let go of. The past that you don't think helped you, that's the one you still got the grievance about that you can't let go of. But the minute you say, that past was from somehow or another it helped me become who I am today, or somehow or another it made me a more loving person, or somehow or another it made me stronger, then you're blessed. As soon as you say that, you're blessing the past, and then your past is no longer a hindrance to your present, because now you're seeing it as a way that it empowered you right now instead of hurting you right now. And all of a sudden your past will automatically be blessed, and all those grievances around your past will go. The reason why the grievances are there is because you don't think your past served you. That's the only reason why it's there. So if you want to go a long way tonight to let go of your grievances from the past, say, even though I may not understand how, everything that happened to me somehow was for my own best interest. I don't have to feel it. I don't have to see it. I don't even have to understand how that could be true. But right now, I'm going to say that no matter what happened to me when I was a child, somehow or another, it served some higher purpose. Some helpful purpose for me, whether I realize it or not. Somehow or another, having an abusive, alcoholic, a perceived father, somehow or another, that was helpful. I don't know how, necessarily. I don't necessarily feel it, but it's helpful. Then I can let it go, because it helped me. We all had a past. So we just as well stop using it against ourselves. I mean, we all had one. And how can you not let go what's already gone? So don't worry about it. You know? Don't worry about it. You will let go of the past. It's already gone. But the Course says what you do is you use your now moment to relive your past over and over again, and then you don't free yourself in the present. Because instead of using your present to free yourself, you're using your present to remember what you're upset about. And then your mind just recreates it for you in the future. And so you just keep reliving the same thing in different form over and over again, but you don't realize you're the one that's perpetuating it, because you're refusing to believe that you have benefited through being you.
Could you say that again?
Yeah, I'm reliving it, the past, over and over again, because I'm refusing to believe that I have benefited through being me all my life. I am going to bless Earl Purdy's past tonight. I'm going to say, Earl Purdy, you know, everything you've done in the past was for your own best interest, and you learned some incredible lessons of love and truth, and it's made you the person you are today, which is a person that's sitting in front of a group of people who wants to be more loving. And then you could do the same thing. Everybody in this room could do the same thing if you really wanted to be free, for real.
The past is over, it can touch me now.
The past is over, it can touch me now. That's right. And remember, if you want to keep another person imprisoned by your anger and your guilt and your grievances, the jailer has to stay in prison with the prisoner to make sure the prisoner doesn't escape. Mm-hmm. So the mere fact that you want to make sure somebody gets whatever is coming to them means you have to stay where they are in order for them to receive it. And I say you deserve more than that. Alright? Okay. So let me do the love offering. Everybody's got to go. And at 1 o'clock on Sunday.
Back here.
We didn't get the money.
Back here.
Well, thank you for asking.
We have so much money
over here. Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that because I swear Excel does not accept hugs from me. I went down there and it just didn't fly. So I really appreciate those of you who realize that I'm just like you. I'm out here in the world and I'm sharing my gift. Thank you. Okay. So right now, before we go out to the night, let's go out with the attitude of I ask to be released from all fear. You can be aware without being afraid. Fear is not necessary in order for you to make right choices. It's not like you won't do something, you let go of your fear, somehow you'll harm yourself because you won't be afraid. What you want is awareness. Your awareness protects you more than fear does. Being aware protects you more than fear does. Being aware protects you more than fear does. And tonight we are asking to be released from fear, and we are going to try to accept the idea that an answer that comes from our higher self will be an answer that doesn't increase our fear. And if we are asking for something in fear, we know we don't really want it, even though we think we are, so we're going to ask for the fear to be released first, because you deserve perfect happiness only. Let peace extend from my mind to yours. I appreciate y'all. Thanks for staying over a little bit. Clubs are available.
So I'm gonna get you real quick here.
Love you, brother.
Holy Spirit, thank you.
Thank you, bro.
I just listened to your CD. Just creating that space within me where a worker, no one affects me.
Yeah, we gotta do it. Yeah. I'm working on that right now.